Welcome to the Bible Institute of the Air. During this Christmas season, Dr. Ward Anderson of the Bob Jones University Bible Faculty is teaching a special series on Christ as the fulfillment of prophecy. Here with today's study is Dr. Anderson.
We're continuing our study of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, and following the number of prophecies from the Old Testament which tell where and how he was to come. We notice, first of all, in Genesis 3:15, that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be the seed of the woman, uniquely born, not having man as his father, but God as his father. But nevertheless, as Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 puts it, made of a woman. Being the seed of the woman, he, of course, is fully identified with man. He became man. Now, no one can adequately explain how that the God of the ages can wrap himself up in flesh and become man. But this is a part of the gospel promise to those who will receive it. The scriptures testify uniformly that God sent his Son into the world to redeem sinful men to himself. So in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we read of Christ's human relationship. If man is to have help, he must have help that is of his own kind. It was man who sinned, and from man has to come the satisfaction of sin. And we know that Christ rendered satisfaction to his Father for a sin payment on behalf of others. He, the Holy One, the Sinless One, is the only one who could have offered to God the payment for man's sin. And we come to God through only one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, we have the identity of Christ's national origin. He would be a descendant of Abraham, according to the flesh. This promise carries on through to Isaac, who is the chosen covenant heir, and from Isaac in turn to Jacob, to whom was promised the covenant that came from Abraham. It is from Jacob's family, then, that we should look for the Redeemer. The next passage that we should consider along this line is in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. And I trust that you have a Bible handy. You might open with us and read Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Jacob has come to be an old man by this time, and he is here before his death blessing his 12 sons. And among the blessings given here is a messianic promise to his fourth son, Judah. And he begins the blessing of Judah in verse 8. And he says, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. But continuing in verse 10, he says this of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In this verse of Scripture, we have the identification of Christ's tribal origin. In Genesis 3:15, we know that the Redeemer will be fully man, rather than an angel or some other kind of suprahuman being. In Genesis 12, of all the families of mankind by that time, the Lord singles out Abraham as being the forefather of the family through whom would come the Redeemer. And now, through Abraham's line, by way of Isaac and Jacob, we have the promise conveyed to Judah, Jacob's fourth son. And to Judah is promised a scepter. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Judah is promised the rule of this nation. We will continue next time to notice that this is fulfilled in the family of David, of the tribe of Judah. But I want to consider this afternoon this verse 10 of Genesis 49 with reference to Christ, the coming one. Judah will be the lawgiver, will be the tribe that holds the scepter over the nation that shall descend through these 12 patriarchs. That's the first part of verse 10. But the second part of verse 10 says, this is true until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Notice the word him. It refers back to the name Shiloh. That is an individual that is denoted by that term, Shiloh. What does Shiloh mean? The word Shiloh means he whose it is, or the one who owns it. Let me read again the promise given to Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the one who owns it comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The one who owns what? The one who owns the scepter. The one whose right it is to rule. This is a definite gospel promise, that from the tribe of Judah shall come the one whose right it is to rule the entire nation. Now, it was promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 6 that kings should come from his descent. Kings would come from the tribes that would descend from Abraham. And here you have very specifically that line of kings is properly in the tribe of Judah. And that Shiloh, the one whose right it is to rule over the whole nation, is going to come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. This is a very definite promise of the coming of Christ. I refer again, as we did a couple times ago, to Luke chapter 1 and verse 30 through 33. This is concerning the Annunciation to Mary that from her should be born the coming one. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is in definite answer that Mary, who was of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David, through her is fulfilled the birth of the one called Shiloh, the one whose right it is to rule over the nation. Now we have an added dimension to the promise of the gospel from Christ. We have the fact not only that his lineage will be from man, according to the flesh, seed of the woman, through Abraham, that nation that should come from him, through Isaac, through Jacob, but now the tribe of Judah will see the birth of this one whose right it is to rule. I'm reading a prophecy now from the book of Numbers in chapter 24 and verse 17. The prophet who utters these words didn't intend to do so. The man is Balaam, and he is attempting to curse the nation Israel. But instead, God overrules, and he speaks great blessing upon a nation whom God intended to bless. But that blessing is possible only because of the one that we have been discussing, the one who should come. Notice what Balaam says in about 1400 B.C. in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. This is a great promise of the one who would come to rule the nation Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the one who came to die, but who came to die in order that he might redeem to himself men. And those men would be his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Christ came to establish righteousness in the earth, and we read of Christ that the scepter of his kingdom is a righteous scepter. God's people through Christ are righteous people, and they do his works not because that they find it convenient to do so, simply because it's socially acceptable, but because they have in them the righteousness of Christ. As the hymn writer said, we should want Christ to be born in us today, not simply in the world, but in the hearts of his people. And may he rule us as he shall one day rule the world through his chosen people. Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the truth of the gospel. We pray that thy scepter shall be in our hearts one of righteousness and one to which we submit readily. Bless this truth today to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Dr. Ward Anderson, a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University, has been our teacher on today's broadcast. Listen Monday through Friday for the Bible Institute of the Air, produced by Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.